Anybody ready for Easter? Me too. Do you know what? I don't know how many of you do the Lent thing we always do as a sort of family and challenge each other. And any of you that know me, you'll know what an incredible sacrifice this has been. No laughter. You don't know where I'm going with this, do you? I gave up tea, as in drinking tea, for Lent. Do you know what? It's flipping killed me. There's just something not right about like a chicken and mayo sandwich with hot squash. Know what I mean? Try it. Oh, gosh. So next Sunday morning when the crowds are here and we're eating our egg and sausage sandwich, I'm going to have an injection of tea. Although it'll probably be about a minute after midnight that I'll do that. So fab. A few people have asked me about the sort of Easter events. Obviously, we've had 2 years with the pandemic of stuff not sort of happening in the city and around. Next Friday, the March of Witness around Lichfield is going to happen. And we'll make sure that the details go out in the next couple of days by email so that you all know where to be, what, why and when. That is just a great, if you've never been before, it's just a great witness to the city. Hundreds of people walking through behind a giant cross. I've done it, I think, every year that I've been in Lichfield, and it really is, you know, significant, I think, testimony to the city. So please be part of that. And, you know, if you're not quite sure where to be, what, why and when, phone the office, phone me, somehow get the information, and that'll just be great. And then next Sunday, we're just going to have an absolute blast here as we celebrate resurrection together. Get here prompt. There's a lot of people booked in, and all the sandwiches and everything are arriving at 9 o'clock. So if you want a cold sausage sandwich, come at 9:10 or perhaps miss out because some of us will be hungry. You get that? Yeah. Me and James will finish and mate, won't we? Yeah. So, thanks, Ryan. I've got the privilege of concluding this incredible series that we've gone through since the beginning of this year, Mind Matters. All the previous messages that I and others have preached are obviously online. Just check out the YouTube channel. Then you can sort of see the sequence and some of the absolute treasures and gems that have been taught over the last few weeks. And it's interesting because the reason why I do what I do and this happens in the way that it does and this building exists roots itself right back to the idea of that I want every human being, man, woman and child to walk free, to walk in wholeness. Wholeness is about sort of body, soul and spirit united together, bringing some sort of sense of happiness and fulfillment in our lives. That's why I get up on the morning. That's why we do what we do. And it's been just great because we all want to get to a better place and have that sense of unity. But it's just been interesting, something deeply spiritual that many of you will understand. Some of you, it might sound a bit weird. But we've said right at the start of this series that we are not here as psychiatrists, psychologists, any sort of shrink type of metaphor. We're here as men and women of God who believe we understand what the Bible says and trying to bring some context to how our minds engage with our bodies to help us be the sort of people and live the sort of lives God wants us to be. And yet within that, I say this not cautiously, but it seems to have unleashed something incredible in not just this community of faith, but outside this community of faith as well. The pastoral team, Tracy and all the guys who serve and love and support people through prayer and practical ways, these last sort of 3 months have just been absolutely manic in terms of the busyness and the onslaught of stuff in a great way. I don't mean that negatively. And we've seen some incredible, we've heard some stories just over the last few minutes, but there's other stories emerging as we speak where people are walking into wholeness. So just picture this as a sort of separate, then I'll get onto this. I think we don't have to look far around, whether it's church, whether it's work, whether it's society, and you can see wounds and you can see scars and you can see bruises. Wounds are a sign of some recent damage that's occurred somewhere on our bodies. Scars are a sign of or an evidence of past damage that's in the process of healing. Bruises, well, they're simply sensitive spots caused by some impact. And they are all around us, whether people are smiling or not. Some of those things are there. Sometimes, you know, our clothes cover the bruises, and yet I'm not talking about just a physical bruise of, you know, whacking your thumb with a hammer and all that sort of thing. I'm talking about life and the way that it deals with us and the way that we deal with it. And so I say that because today is decision day. Probably wondering why I've got this screen up there. Well, all the stuff that we've heard over the last few weeks, I just want to, over these next few minutes, just nail it down with one incredible verse here. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. But if you've got time, read a few verses around it, because there's a real context there that brings this into focus. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Shall I sit down and leave it at that? Who said yes? I'll ignore that. Shouldn't have asked, should I really? The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I think it's a statement that largely speaks for itself, but I do want to take literally a few moments to just unpack it and bring us to a point of challenge. But I want to take us back into a little bit of, I suppose, very brief historical sort of point that brings us right today, and I'm going to do this very, very quickly. The great character Moses, he was recognized as the original lawgiver. Probably the pinnacle of that is what we know as the Ten Commandments. Commandments, not suggestions. The nation of Israel was being born and being established. And there was an expectation given from God through Moses to those people. It's called the Torah, T-O-R-A-H. It's the first five books of the Old Testament. The word Torah just simply means to give direction, to give guidance. The core of it, we know, was written on tablets of stone. And I was tempted to sort of title this, if it was given a title, "Are You Taking the Tablets?" Here all week. But this helped people. That's what commands or restrictions or whatever you want to call them, they're about setting boundaries so that if you stay within those boundaries, hopefully you'll be a lot safer than outside of them. You know, like when your kids are born and you have those sort of stair gates and all them sort of things, what you're doing is you're not being horrible to them. You're setting some sort of boundaries, because if they fall down them stairs or they touch that cooker, they are going to hurt themselves. That's something of the law, in an oversimplistic way, that God established sort of through Moses, that people might live righteous, happy, fulfilled lives. It was a covenant agreement between two parties, between God and Israel. And it promised life and peace. But that covenant then had the suggestion within it that a new covenant was coming. And this is what Jeremiah writes. It's on the screen, and for you online, it's there for you. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." Simple image. The law, the commands, however you want to sort of describe it. The best way I could say is, it's like a mirror. So let me take you back a few hours earlier this morning. I'll pick on Stuart because you like this. Stood in the mirror and went, "What am I going to do with my hair?" You like that? We all have that problem, don't we? You look in the mirror and I don't know what expression you had, but it's like, "Boy. Come on, world. It's not me, just in case you think I'm being. But you see in the mirror, you see what the problems, what the difficulties, what the adjustments are that need to be made so that you can be presentable. But all the mirror does is show you the adjustments that need to be made. The mirror cannot do anything about it. Simple, but straightforward. That's what the law, that's what God's word, that's what all this is about. We look into God's word, we hear it taught from here or in whatever way we receive it, and it shows us something. That's why so often, you've heard it from these people this morning, you've got stories around it. That's why so often we respond or we invite people, as I'm going to ask you to do in a few moments, to respond in prayer. Because we're saying, this is what the Bible says, this is the mirror that you're looking at. And you might go, yeah, I need to make some adjustments there. And so then the mirror is moved to one side and you need to get the comb, the whatever, the polyfill, sorry, the comb, the whatever it's needed to, you got that, didn't you? To make the adjustments to line up with the sort of life that you believe God is calling you to live. However, here's the big difference. Those tablets of stone which were written on served for the people, for them to look at and seek to follow. And so often they got it wrong. But that's not the case. This verse in Jeremiah tells us this, that now you and I live with the internal expectation of God, implemented by the Holy Spirit, written not on tablets of stone, but written in our hearts. So that whole great picture when Jesus comes to the disciples and he tries to get hold of the fact of, I'm going to go back to my Father soon. And they're going, well, that is ridiculous. This is so much fun. You're setting the world on fire. Why would you leave now? I mean, that's what I'd have said politely to the Son of God. And what does he say? Something that these alpha guys can tell us all about from the day they spent. He says, don't worry. I'm going to send another one just like me. The Holy Spirit. Who will not just be with you, but will be in you. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Let me land this. Can we go back a screen, Ryan, please? Let me just pick three words very quickly out of here, but I think you've got the gist of this. The word governed. Bit of a hot topic at the moment over the last few months, but hey, we understand what government is about. Something or somebody that controls the affairs and business of people. The mind governed, something that controls the affairs and business of people. The flesh. Everything that's opposing God's nature and design. Everything that's spoiling the image of God that's in each one of us. I'm not just talking about extreme stuff. We're talking about what to some people might be simple selfishness or prejudice that we perhaps hit more than any time in our history. I don't know. Then we go on to issues of abuse and power. The flesh. The things that dominate, that make us ugly, not on the outside, but on the inside, that affect society, not in a pleasant way, but means that society is not quite the place we want it to be and live in. But then the word life. I've just written here, the opportunity to be free to express love and intention under the Lordship of Christ. Going from lost to found, from lonely to loved, from bound to free. Who have you voted, final screen, who have you voted into government? in your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit, that internal sat-nav, compass, conscience, however you might want to describe it, are you allowing him to dictate the pace and the rhythm of your life, of your conversations, of your relationships, of your responses, of all that good stuff that is the nature of God within us, that he's constantly saying, Steve, come on, be good. But sometimes the flesh side of it doesn't want me to be good. It's trying to help me to do things that disappoint me and disappoint God and disappoint my family and people around. That's the battle that we face. And so this isn't a once every 4 years sort of put your X in the right box. I think every day the polling station is open in our hearts and minds. That as we rise and whatever our day begins like, we can actually respond to God and say, today, my life is going to be governed by the Holy Spirit because I want to live in life and peace. I want that. All right, stand up if you do. Sorry, that sounds very... Please stand up if you're happy to... Oh, wow, look at that, eh? James, wherever you are. Thanks. Oh. Are you taking the tablets? I've got a new prescription for you. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want life and I want peace. I want it for me, I want it for my family, for my job, for these incredible musicians, for you, for your family. So I'm going to invite you, just as we worship now, to just get hold of that picture that every single day the polling station is open. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, think of my... No, don't. But tomorrow morning as you wake, you're going to say, today, my life is going to be governed by the Spirit of God that lives inside of me. If that's a new experience through Alpha or some of you who recently come to faith, then just get hold of it and get excited about the possibilities. I can live this sort of life. Yes, you can. That's what Jesus came and expressed and wants us to do. Let's just worship for a moment or two together. We've got a few minutes just before we go and welcome the kids and everything. Don't go just yet till the screen goes up in a few minutes' time, but let's just worship. And as you worship, just surrender. Lord, my polling station is open and today, X marks the spot. You are the government of my life through your Holy Spirit in me. Jesus, we worship you. Just open your heart to him.